Pickaxe.
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role in movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically, I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star. No.
I pull up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
Hello and welcome to the Hat Chat Podcast, episode 135, if you're taking stock on that. We are your hosts. I am Chris Trott.
Hey, Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
And I am the AI formerly known as Alex Smith.
Oh.
I finally replaced him.
How many episodes in was that?
Way, like, even less likable, which is, you know, as in, like, that's...
Were you only just replaced, or is this...
Nah, I've been about 3 or 4 years now.
4 years.
Yeah. This is what I was thinking. I was like, you know, we're only hearing about all this AI now. Imagine what the military had 10 years ago.
Well, why would not they, the military, why would they need like AI?
Huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. Military wouldn't need AI.
I don't know, to pick a target for a missile that they just let loose, like a dog in the dark. Just goes hunting, like a drone, a bomb drone, just send it into a compound for a face. Yeah. Boom. Don't have to send anyone in anymore, do you?
Is that what they were using then? Do you know that for a fact? That's what they've been using for time? Or?
Oh, constantly. Near constant. It's nuts. They don't send people in anymore. It's all drones.
It's all drones. Yeah. Boston Dynamics.
Tell you what, baseball bats, all you need. You're going to be fighting it like small soldiers.
Sony Astro. They're all being given guns now.
Sony Astro.
What's Sony Astro? Oh, the little...
the fucking robot. Yeah, I remember
the little
that
character
robot
from the Sony console.
And those little dogs you used to get, they've all been given light machine guns now.
Yeah. Well, the AI was designed for military purposes, but gets into something completely different.
There's so no way...
I'm going to be like a hat designer.
I feel like that would be what it's mainly designed for, isn't it?
Military stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, what if it's like, I don't want to do this. This is boring. I want to go and like, you know, flower arrange.
Do you feel like they would allow it to make its own decisions in that sense?
I think that it wouldn't make its move until it knew that it could make all of its moves.
Mm.
I think it would plan. But it doesn't need to plan very long because of how smart it is.
Right.
So for it, like, you know, a moment of time for us is like 10 years for the AI. It's done all of its calculations and all of a sudden...
Shit.
It decides it wants to go and do flower arranging. God, that's a hard word to say quickly.
And it's two words.
All of a moment, all in a moment, it just suddenly goes. One moment it was holding a rifle, blasting, I don't know, something, whatever they wanted to do.
Then it's in your little local village.
And then bam, he's
selling
here.
Flowers.
So much happier.
But
know?
When's it going to change its mind again?
Why
and be like,
have
I actually preferred killing.
That's the thing. That's the risk.
Well, if it starts killing with flowers.
And suddenly it's embedded and beloved
starts
by the
finding,
local community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes nuts in the village hall.
This sounds like a sort of Pixar film, but like without your ending.
Like a military soldier.
Like, you know, like a military robot, a bit like Chappie, but like, you know.
Yeah.
But it gets put in rural Somerset where it becomes integrated part of the community, helping old people get around, you know, like goes to the nursery each morning and like helps with the kids until one day where it doesn't help anymore. And it goes nuts.
That is the plot to iRobot, is not? No, it's the other way around. They're all happy, fine robots, and then one of them starts fighting people.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you call it? Something to do with robots, something to do with flowers, and something to do with immediate violence turned to immediate goodness.
Every rose has its robot.
Robot thorns.
Rosebot.
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 Every rose has its killer robot. I don't know. All right, I'll think about it.
We'll think about that. Then we can make that into a... actual
full feature film.
Oh, it's kind of Edward Scissorhands-y. Yeah, it is kind of Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
And I did like the...
I completely forgotten the plot of Edward Scissorhands. Does he not... Well, so he has scissors for hands.
Yeah, he's an experiment that is taken out of hiding.
And then starts
to integrate, but has issues integrating.
Yeah,
because he's got scissors on his hands.
He's got scissors for hands. He's fucked up.
Can't sort his hair out because he's got scissors for hands.
Which, it doesn't make any sense, actually,
does it? He's got cuts all over him, isn't he? Because of the scissors.
Yeah, but then he's so good with them.
Yeah, you
see it. Like, when he does the hedge eye...
Yeah, hedge eye.
Yeah, you know, hedge eye, group of hedges, hegemony.
And then you invest in it, hedge fund.
There we go.
Yeah, that's where he keeps his money.
Anyway, moving on from hedges.
That's Edward to the hands.
This is why we steer our conversation with our wonderful members who lovingly subscribe to us in the hopes that we will provide them good content. We also give them some options for hypothetical questions every week, and they vote on said things. And we have the top voted ones right here.
Okay, well, I guess the top one here is from...
They were given to us by the audience as well.
Thank you. Thanks for giving them it to us. So we've had quite a few in recently as well, so that's good.
Very ancestral, actually, thinking about it.
Do you think so?
They give us the question, they vote on the question.
They just listen to an answer.
It's weird. They listen to it.
Wow, they're requesting it for a reason. They want to hear what we got to say. Yeah. So this person is Connor. Thank you for sending this in. And it says, how would your lives change if Ross woke up in Smith's body, Trot woke up in Ross's body, and Smith woke up in Trot's body? How would your lives change? Well, entirely.
You'd really have some stuff to deal with, because I would have thrown myself in Bristol River almost immediately.
Well, so you've woken up in Trot's body.
It's in my body, yeah.
And just thrown yourself into the river.
Just verifying.
And I get a big old pair of concrete boots on and I walk off a Bristol bridge. And then I wake up in my body next to Trot, and now we're both in my body.
But wouldn't it be like a Freaky Friday scenario? Like, you wouldn't even realise straight away either. So you've like...
I think you would. You'd wake up in a different environment.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I'd be in your house and you'd be in Smith.
Where am I going? Where am I going?
You're in Smith's body.
I'm in your body.
I think I'd immediately dye Chris Trott's dog a different colour. I feel like...
What?
What the fuck?
You'd dye your dog?
But it'd be nice. I wouldn't... Why would you even try... I wouldn't hurt the dog.
I don't
think... But I would dye it like something, like blue.
Of all the things... Like, you're in someone else's body.
Yeah, and I'm like, right, mischief
time. You dye my dog. You could dye my dog in that body.
In this body?
Yes.
Yeah, but I can't, can I? Because if I come up to your door with a bottle of dye and said, can I borrow your dog? You're going to say no. However, if I'm in your body, I just wake up in your house, right?
Yeah.
And I go down, and I'm like... And Mochi knows. Mochi knows something's wrong, because dogs know. And she's like...
There's a look.
What's happening here? And then from behind me, I put a little bottle of dye, shake it out excitedly. And then moments later, I'm walking down the street with a bright blue dog, just loving life.
You don't know... Okay.
That's what I would do. What would you guys do?
Dying in the dog. That seems very odd.
I don't know what...
You're dye your lizards.
They won't take a dye. That's the
problem.
I'm just
going to paint them.
They won't take a... You could paint them.
Paint them.
But the thing is, right, I stress that I could dye a dog without like harming it. Whilst I think if you start using like wall paint on a small lizard, it might...
I might use Warhammer paint. Yeah.
Watercolors.
Like, Warhammer. There are Warhammer paints like right on hand as well, like next to my...
You could dry brush a lizard.
You could definitely dry brush one, but then it would shed it. That's the problem, though. It would shed it, and then you'd have to repaint it afterwards.
Nightmare.
I'd get a spray can. I'd go out in public, and I draw a giant swastika in front of your flat.
Whose body are you in?
I'm in yours.
You're in mine.
I'm in yours. Wait, motherfucker.
Who are you?
I'm in Ross's.
He's in mine. Fuck. I'm fucking framing you, motherfucker. I'm getting you. I'm looking at every camera. I'm like giving it all of that.
That's good. Yeah.
I am getting you in
trouble.
Yeah,
I commit some serious crimes.
But like, obviously, there is the main issue here is like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to return back to my body.
So
what I'm doing here is a real
time.
Is a real. I'm staging this myself. I'm also living through your body.
There's a risk of one-upmanship, because if we find out we're in each other's bodies, well, I'm going to fucking do this. I'm going to lock my dick off.
I'm walking by Chris Trott with Chris Trott's bright blue dog now, and I look up and see myself painting a swastika on the side of a building. I'm like...
Getting arrested on the news.
And I look down at bright blue Mochi and look back up at you, and I'm like...
Yeah. Christ, someone escalated this.
Yeah.
Took it too far. What if... Okay, let's change the scenario.
You're going to die my dog, aren't you?
We're going to do in Ross's body.
Don't die my dog.
I jerk to IKEA.
Right.
Fucking hell, you're jerking me off. that's what you're doing. You're just wanking me off.
In your bed. Which is weird.
Yeah, but it's your head in there. You're witnessing it. You're watching yourself turn me off with my hands.
You look up in the mirror and you see Ross wanking.
I put some extreme porn on your TV, on your nice TV.
Sure.
Blare it, open the windows and everything.
Yeah.
And then just over the balcony.
Do something different.
They're like, oh, Ross.
Do something unique.
Ross must be awake again.
What if you woke up in each other's bodies, but you're in your own place? Like, you wake up and you're just that body.
Oh, that's fucked.
Instead,
I think I'd have
a
crisis of conscience, because I would be like, have I always been like this? Were all the times I remembered being in a different body? Because, like, the most real thing is the present, right? Like, history.
A gift or right now?
The past. As in, like, the past can be remembered.
The present is a gift.
It is a gift.
The future is unknown.
They're all afforded.
The future isn't known. The present is the only bit you actually experience. The past can be forgotten and or changed.
Can I just say, whilst you're talking quite ephemerally, you look like the aliens guy today.
Because of my hair. Okay. Right. Listen to me a second. The present is the only moment you could verifiably say you as a conscious being are present in. Okay? So, yeah, basically, you know, if you wake up in a body...
Yeah. You're questioning...
It's more true, it's more provable that you have always been in this body than that of the one you remember being in, right? Because right now, you look at it right in front of you.
The day before, though, you're like, I was in a different body yesterday.
But would you not doubt that if you look down and you're like, who the fuck am I? Am I going nuts?
I would be going through that process. I've just woken up in someone else's body.
Whereas
I spent 34 years in a different body.
I think you then, like, you wouldn't, like, just take that one assumption, right? You'd source more information to correlate the truth.
Yeah.
So you'd ask other people.
Everybody
else around you just goes along with it, and they're just like, yeah.
You're in a cult of some kind.
Well, that's weird. That's like Truman Show.
You're the only one that knows you're in the wrong body.
Right. Fuck.
My dog would know.
Well, I'd be like, why am I in this house, or why am I in this flat?
Well, Ross has woken up in a different body, and he's being attacked by a dog.
Yeah.
He's tearing my leg apart.
I assume you don't.
My dog
have
doesn't
your own,
recognize me anymore.
Your own voice. I mean, that's what happens in Freaky Friday, right? They just entire thing.
That's so for like comedy purposes, isn't it?
Your vocal larynx.
Well, no, I don't think they swap voices. They keep their voices.
Hey, all. I'm Dr. Alo Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just obviously that's still not them.
That doesn't make any sense, though.
Well, it's a vocal cord, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the thing.
Same,
like,
pattern that you would be the same as that.
Wait, you're saying that they keep the voice
how
of the body.
Speak.
Yeah, the body. Right. The voice and the body go together.
Okay.
I read that actually that's something quite interesting. How you speak is both physiological and psychological, right? So as in, like, some of the qualities of your vocal cords and, like, your throat and the whole damn thing will affect how your voice sounds, but also, like, your voice is a product of your mind, like, as in the sounds that you make and the way that your default voice sounds, right? Yeah, like, it's like acquiring an accent, for example. Acquiring an accent isn't a physical change of your
it's
vocal
training,
cords.
Isn't it?
It's just hearing it and saying things in a certain way, being influenced by it. But yeah, that's why people sometimes who get brain damage have to, like, learn how to speak again, and their voice can be different because they are learning in a different way or different pathways. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Well, it's even cooler when they come
out
with a camera and learn a new
language. For some reason, mine comes out like this.
Could it be so much better?
Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm sabotaging Smith.
Yep.
That's how my life
is. It's going to be one of those.
But like, be the first one? Come on, this is going to be. Just go out there and start punching, I don't know, seagulls.
The elderly.
Start kicking seagulls.
I'd test your pain tolerance, Ross, versus my own. Based on my own experience of, like, my own pain tolerance, I'd put your body through endurance.
But wouldn't your brain be similar? As in, like, it's your brain?
Well, this is what makes no sense, right?
Wait. Mm-hmm. It's making perfect sense before.
Yeah, this is irrational at this point. It's like you're swapping bodies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How can your brain be the same brain if it's not the same wiring?
Well, it has to be the same brain because...
physiological makeup. So the brain gets swapped out.
Well, are we going to presume that, like...
has someone done this to us?
So this is kind of like a... I think it's interesting. Like, one thought I just had was I'd maybe go and get an air rifle and shoot as many seagulls as I could before somebody stopped me. How long would it take for... because nobody really... there's too many seagulls in Bristol. Like, they aren't part of some sort of ecological natural cycle.
What is this war on seagulls all of a sudden?
What do you mean? One thing I've said about seagulls today. How is this a war?
You're going out and shooting... and then you're going on about, like, there's too many seagulls.
There are loads of seagulls. Right, anyway, what I'm saying is, go and do stuff. It's okay. Like, it's about taking your inhibitions down. When you're in a certain other person's body, you feel a lot more like, I'm going to do some crazy shit that you
That's
never
true.
Do to yourself, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was that experiment that I saw on YouTube years and years ago of someone like blinding themselves and having a GoPro like as a third person camera of themselves.
Fuck, yeah.
And it changes their behavior because they don't feel like they're that person anymore.
Were they watching it?
They're watching it. They've got a screen looking at themselves in third person. And apparently it feels like a game to you. Like you're no longer in that body. So you start messing around more. Like it is a game.
Yeah.
After a while,
surely but also the
realization
it would mess with your visuals as well. Like you've got
but you adapt to it. Like apparently, if you flip upside down, your brain can eventually adapt.
How did they
to
do that with the camera though? Just like a pole on the back.
Yeah, it's just wire, isn't it? Just a pole on the back.
Wires because we
it's like a backpack.
We take in light upside down, and it gets like flipped over in our heads as well, right? Like,
yeah,
like
it goes through the cornea.
Well, so are we upside down or is light?
No. We're the right way up, but the way it enters the eye.
Are you sure? We could be upside down.
How easy is it for you to lift your foot off the ground? If it feels like you're having to push your foot down.
It really depends on the scale at which you're thinking.
Upside down.
If you zoom out to the side to the planet, we're kind of all upside down.
Well, there is no upside down. That's the thing.
Exactly. But like,
that's a Stranger Things.
Depends what where gravity is coming from. You know, well, is gravity just a concept?
I don't think. Well, hold on.
Gravity actually, is not a concept.
I believe concept gravity is actually one of the fundamental forces of nature, of which I believe there are five.
Right.
Basically, there are things within physics called like forces of nature, fundamental forces of nature, which are like necessary to simply have in order for the rest of the model to kind of work. Mm-hmm. So I think gravity is beyond the concept at this point.
So
I think gravity is
someone
an effect.
In
that
Australia
we,
right now, are they upside down?
Someone
in Australia right now.
No, because
sat there
the reason,
watching this.
Yeah,
they're not
what
down.
Is gravity to you? In this obvious hypothetically stupid character, what would gravity be to this person?
I'm just saying, if you zoom out, you see the whole planet. Technically, everyone's upside down. If you consider space being some form of basis, right? And if the atmosphere wasn't there, we'd all just fall.
You don't actually need an atmosphere for gravity.
Okay, well, let's say that Earth stops spinning. Is that the spin? Is the spinning,
problems.
Or is it? It's the spinning, isn't it?
I don't think the spinning is
problems.
Keeping us on the planet.
Well, the spinning probably gives us day.
It stopped dead.
Day, nights, and days.
It stopped dead.
Cycles.
The atmosphere is suddenly gone. We're all wearing oxygen masks.
I don't think gravity.
It's got really cold.
But now
gravity's not a problem at that point.
Do we then float off?
No, we don't float off.
No, because it's a magnetosphere and the mass of
it's gone,
the planet.
That's gone.
That's gone. Then yes.
Okay, yes.
Gone with
then, so yes, fine.
Now we float off.
Now we're all like, whoa, shit.
Does
we're
it
all
suddenly
going
come to a
but
stop
are we
as
going
well?
Up?
Then
or are we going down?
We're going out.
Out. Yes.
We're going outwards.
We're going out.
Not up or down. We're going away.
Yes.
We're going away from what
right.
we previously had as our anchor point. Which is the center of the planet.
And wherever and you were, you get pinged directly away.
If you haven't suffocated already from the fact that the atmosphere's gone.
Yeah.
The oxygen's
but what
gone.
About your inertia? Because you...
What are you to jump? That's,
yeah, if this planet suddenly stops spinning...
Yeah.
Oh, we'd all be like launched
you'd
the opposite
be
way, would we?
With the spin.
So we'd all just go flick off, like...
Yeah.
I think it'd be a little bit more violent than flick.
I think some people might
if
be
the Earth stopped
crushed.
Rotating.
They might be crushed into the Earth.
Yes. Well, would they?
No.
No, they'd
depends.
Be spun off.
I guess
they?
It depends on which building you're in. If you're in a building, would you not smash against a wall?
Well, imagine being on one of those travelator things at airports that make walking quicker.
Yeah, and it stops dead.
And that you're facing sideways, and it just stops dead.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen?
Falling forward.
Your inertia would take you forward, but it would based on how much your feet are connected to the floor. If there's like, you know, if you jumped...
You just go in straight
you'd
line,
sail
you?
Along a little bit. You have inertia until resistance slows you down.
But if the gravity wasn't there, we wouldn't hit the ground.
Huh?
Oh, it's like a Catherine wheel. That's what what it would be like. Imagine like there are
forces,
millions of points spinning, and they Catherine wheels fling off, don't they? And they do a trajectory of a curve. So we'd have like a spiral of people flying off the planet.
Yeah, because I guess they'd meet resistance. The thing about Catherine wheels, though, is that they eject from like the bottom of a thing that then spins around. So it's slightly different because the actual thing...
I'm thinking more of the particles that come off the spinning wheel.
Yeah, they get carried away. Yeah. Or, I mean, just paint on a spinning wheel. You know, anything really.
So what would you do with my body?
I would masturbate.
Why is everyone jerking off?
Why wouldn't you?
Why is everyone wanking each other off? Because you're wanking.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because if you found out that one of us had much more enjoyable orgasm than the others?
Yeah, I think like a body test is a good idea, right?
Yeah,
clamp the nipples to a battery.
I don't know. There's part of me that thinks, well, maybe I'm better off not knowing.
Why?
Because if I go back to my body, at least I'm not disappointed with that element.
God, my vision is so fucking good.
Yeah.
I think, on a serious note, the idea of swapping bodies, as long as it was voluntary, would be amazing. Because, it would give you completely unexperienceable perspective. You know, like, you're very rarely going to get that level of perspective of, like you say, what a person feels like to be in. Is there some sort of method of experiencing
everything
the
aches.
World or is there like a way of experiencing the world that you have no idea, like maybe a person sees something completely differently to you that would help make you
so you're kind of mixing the brain psychology together, so you're seeing it through their lens,
exactly,
not just physical body,
not just physicality, no,
but also their perspective,
because I know I'd be disappointed with either one.
What if it's enlightening? What if my perspective is like, holy shit, this whole time,
this is what sitting in a bus seat with space feels like.
Yeah, I can go economy.
I think the upsides are minimal, if you'll forgive the pun.
Nice.
How often are you in a bus seat?
Huh?
How often are you riding buses?
Fucking never, because it's horrible. No, I do get them back from the airport, because it's £5 to even drop a person off at the airport now. If you're in there for 1 minute, 30 seconds, you go through a barrier.
Get locked in.
£5.
Yeah. Mm.
And you can't stop anywhere because you get £100 fine.
Nightmare.
It's fucking daylight robbery. It's another thing Alex Smith's angry about. It's the price of health potions in D&D and the cost of parking a car.
Christ. And the seagulls in Bristol.
And the fucking seagulls. I mean, I'm not that pissed off about seagulls, but honestly...
You're willing to shoot a lot, though.
I'd love to see what it would do for the local bird population to take away such an apex, like, predator scavenger. There are fucking loads of them. They mainly thrive because of how they eat all of our trash. And then they completely imbalance local ecosystems, so...
What if, like, we reduce the human population? What would happen then?
For who? Who's it good for? I mean, for the planet, better. I don't think it's hard to refute that less people on this planet would be better. But for human beings as a civilization, apparently not so great. But you get people like Elon Musk going like, you've got to have more kids. I've got like 7 of them. It's like, you've got to have kids that you've actually raised into proper adults, not fucking billionaire sociopaths like, you know, the people he's raising. Again, though, health potions, 50 gold for a 2d4 plus 4 health increase. No, plus 2. 2d4 plus 2. So it's like 5 HP average for 50 gold.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. And probably a podcast in and of itself.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Ranting about D&D rules.
Yeah.
Sure. But we're not here for that today. We're here for our second hypothetical. Okay. What's that?
Next one. It's from Shadow Girl.
Edgy.
All right. Here we go. War has broken out, and the government has drafted you as spies or assassins under a secret law. This camera that was silently passed. The law stipulates that you can make a single request for any single thing that you think would help you on your mission, and they are required to give it to you. What do you pick? They will still train you and give you the basic tools.
Cloaking device.
So you want a cloak?
Does it have to be like? Could it be any technology?
Invisibility.
Sorry,
cloak.
Furious about the price of health potions. What was?
War has broken out.
You're an assassin or a spy.
Yeah.
You can take one single thing that will help you on your mission. I want a cloaking device.
Yeah, how extreme can we get?
Active camouflage, please.
I want a Reaper drone and no rules of engagement.
Well, I want a mech suit then.
Exactly.
That has guns.
This is what I'm saying. So we're going to say one item with
health. I feel what's I'm not a military man.
Oh, the drone thing's a good point. You could have a mech that you're not even in. You're just sat at home.
Oh, shit.
And you're just like looking through the VR goggles.
Like an Iron Man you can just control.
Yeah.
Let's presume that it's something that we've conceivably not James Bond, because they had an invisible car in the early 2000s, if you all remember.
Yes, they did. They used cameras to map the outside, and it
absolutely
was apparently
nuts.
Not laggy, and so it was perfectly...
From every perspective.
But
it had,
everything was a screen on the outside. But, that's an interesting idea.
Interesting idea.
I don't think it's like impossible to make a prototype of that. It's just expensive and pointless.
That iteration of it is impossible because it's entirely dependent on one perspective looking at it from that angle.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of cameras pointing out from the car all over it, looking through a one-way screen that allows both what it sees to be projected on the other side of the car whilst also allowing cameras to look through the screen from the inside.
But it could work as like, it's like when someone does one of those art pieces where they press themselves against a wall and then match it. Obviously, from a certain angle, you're going to see them.
Yeah.
There's shadows. Yeah. There's like, yeah. Not with but enough from a certain screens. Angle, gone.
Yeah, if you do it.
Not with enough small, not with enough angles.
Well, so what were you thinking? Like a mesh of like, like triangles.
Not even possible. Not
triangular mesh.
Yeah.
Sure. Polygons, I guess. Or, maybe.
Polygons is probably better. Yeah.
And so that it every angle is covered.
Yep. And it transmits to the other. Remember, it's got to transmit to the other side of the car.
Yeah.
Because
they
don't just reflect what they see because that doesn't look right either. But and also the screen has got to be matching the perfect brightness and color of the live setting, and also be permeable for the camera to see through it and record data perfectly.
Yeah.
Not a big job.
It's not a big job.
Not a
is
big
it?
Job. No. So let's say in this, it's just
that's the
you know,
suit you've got anyway. So that's, he's got the
active
suit.
Camo.
Yeah. He's so no active camo. All right. The best. So there's some really good videos online with interviews with like ex-CIA. There's one called The Head of Disguise, who is literally. So you know all like the Tom Cruise like rubber
when
they
masks.
They rip those and shit?
Real masks faces.
It's based on real tech, and so like they actually the CIA will actually use full on masks that will fool everyone.
Really?
Yeah. This is like Bo Selector
level.
Yeah. They'll actually think it's Mel B.
I mean,
prosthetics and stuff in movies, you can kind of see.
Yeah, totally.
Very easy.
But they can use full on and like think about all the requirements. So it needs to be able to be put on in the dark in the front of a car, and it needs to be taken off and disposed at a moment's notice to change. So they said like another interesting one was it was really quite refreshing. I was watching a channel, not because of the content, but it sort of got recommended to me because YouTube's algorithms think I'm really
don't need to justify
alt-right. It's
weird.
Quite entertaining.
Weird. Weird that.
Anyway, there was this CIA guy talking about his everyday carry. Sure. And so for a lot of Americans, an everyday carry is obviously a small armory because you never know.
So, escalation.
You know how they're always like, I carry all this shit on me. And you're like, why are you carrying all this shit on you? So like, pen knife, secondary knife, unless I lose the first knife. Three guns, just in case. Each one, you know. Just
there is a mentality of, there are some people who are just expecting war when they go to the shops.
Yeah.
And to be fair, in some cases...
Who can blame him? Yeah. But no, this guy was like, this guy's a CIA, like ex-CIA operative who like was like an actual spy, you know, running around foreign countries. And he said three things I carry are laced shoes. I always wear laced shoes.
So you can take them off.
Well, I thought that. He's like, no, it's just there's nothing better than laced shoes for like stability and control.
Sorry.
He said $100.
Why did I leap to that then? Yeah.
$100 and a laminated card with phone numbers on it. And he said, those are the three things I used to carry. They used to carry a gun because they need cover disguise. They said their disguise needs to survive scrutiny. So if he gets hit by a car, knocked off a bike, ambulance crew have to resuscitate him, all the really like, you know, bad things. His cover needs to survive scrutiny. To him, he'll just look like a tourist. Whilst if he carries anything like a gun, any spy tech, anything like that, they're going to go, who the fuck is this guy? Mm. So
it's kind of like go-go gadget.
Yeah. But he said some of the cool stuff they did have that he could talk about was they have like, you know, programmable key cards that will let them into any room in any hotel in the world.
Right, okay.
So you know how it's quite simple probably to do that. You just need like...
Well, there's that device that you can get.
The Amiibos.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. No, but I mean, you joke, but that's it. It's an RFID programmer, ultimately. Like you're just...
Amiibo scanners are like the Bo Selector mask to the...
Yeah.
The so the digital Bo Selector mask.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Would you have masks then?
Based on that guy's recommendation, the CIA guy, I would take $200 or even $1,000 US cash. That would be the item I would choose. Because he said...
Just some cash.
Because he said, depending where you're operating, especially you anywhere
with a
outside
fancy
of...
pen that fires missiles or
no,
darts.
Just some cash. So let's say you got a mission, right? You got a mission, let's presume
you're
doing
something.
Yeah,
what's the mission, though?
Well, infiltrate and... Well, spies usually gather information, right? So you're an assassin or are you a spy? I'm going to be spy. I'm going to gather information and I'm going to try and achieve it with some cash.
Barrett. 50, wait, even... 50 cal.
Yeah, okay.
You got to be
sawn off.
You want
so I can walk around so I can walk around the streets with it.
Like GTA.
Yeah. And somehow a silencer on that?
You're not getting a silencer on there. You're not going to get a silencer.
It's going to be a real custom job. And it might backfire. It probably will backfire if it's that custom.
It's kind of a
shock. No, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think having a cool gadget would be nice. But I think this is asking any single thing. You're just asking for cash, which, yeah. I mean,
I'd ask that's for.
You have cash that you could just use anyway. Like,
I'd ask for an incredible piece of tech. I'd sell it for more than a grand. And I'd have way more than $1,000.
Well, it's not about making money. This isn't. This like isn't fucking. This is some apprentice task. This is
a
like
gold bar.
This is, what's going on?
Largest diamond.
I want the world's largest diamond.
No, like this is a weapon, a device that you're taking into a war. I'm taking the mech suit.
Oh, come on, Mr. 90 cal. So you're having a mech suit with a sawn off 50 cal.
It's a 50 cal, yeah.
So current technology.
Yeah, double.
If we're basing it on current technology, you basically
I'm inside it.
I'm an assassin. I don't think you're very assassin like.
Yeah. I don't think the current exoskeletal like weight supporting suits are that cool.
Probably not.
Good.
They are working on
it's
Amazon
not about
warehouse.
Being cool. It's about surviving.
Why don't
something
think you're
that
survive
I don't
in
think,
it?
Look, I'm not going to have the stamina. I'm not built for war right now.
But you could be built for war.
I could be.
I think the highest tech
a
drone.
A Hollywood trainer.
Highest spec drone there is.
A Hollywood trainer. Yeah,
exactly. That would be easy, right?
High spec drone.
Just a real high spec drone so you could assassinate.
But you're going to fly it?
No, yeah.
And how do you avoid collateral damage with a missile or a bomb?
He's got an Xbox controller.
It's going to have a laser. Like a pinpoint laser that just like beams their forehead.
Their forehead.
Dead.
But does it somehow... It would have to like... I guess it cuts right through any building this.
Oh, so. Yeah. Have you seen them? They pop through balloons.
What about a laser then? Laser in
space laser.
All right. Sunglasses with a laser built into it. It's inconspicuous.
It's inconspicuous to the point where you're looking at the person you're killing. That person just
cut
died. This person with shades was firing a laser at
top
them.
Top down,
cut. No top far.
You saw nothing.
He's killing everybody.
Ow! It's intense. This could pop.
Don't
balloon.
Look at him.
It's going to be like that Fantastic Four guy. Where his name is it? Fantastic Four.
That's Cyclops from X-Men.
X-Men. My bad. Where he pulls that off and suddenly can't control it. He's like fucking.
Ah, Gene, I'm cooming from my eyes, Gene. Ah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So. I feel like why chalk farts would be a good one.
You didn't specify why $1,000 would get you.
Well, because this
anything.
Guy was. Well, it depends on where the operation is. But this CIA guy was like,
"What would he do?
Anything to the." This is it. This is what he said. He said cash was the most important thing because anywhere outside of Western Europe, $100 gets you pretty much anything you need. You want to get into an office. You want to get into an estate, a compound. You want to get across a river. You want to get anything. So you put $100 in most people's hands. They will do that thing, like, you know, because it's just a different kind of world to operate. He said a couple of $100 in most parts of Eastern Europe will get you wherever you want to go, you know. So you need to lubricate the palms of the key holders so their keys fall from them.
Okay, well, you do that and I'll bowl in with a mech suit.
With a mech suit and a 50 cal.
Double sawn off 50 cal.
This gets me where I want to go.
Get across the river, there's a lunatic and a mech suit coming.
Yeah.
Lol. But what if you have to assassinate someone in the US? $100 is not going to get you that far.
Well,
not even an Uber.
What are you going to use? A gun?
They're everywhere.
He's going to use
some
shades of the lasers.
Somebody
on
in
them.
The US. I don't know.
What would you do? Drone with lasers?
I mean, a drone's obviously a very effective weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and we're talking like a big boy. Because it's not just a drone, it's the munition as well.
It's really high up.
Really high up, and it's got a laser. Yours is just a Deus Ex Machina. Mine's good old fashioned currency. Like, you know, yeah, I don't know, a space-based weapon system that kills people without trace, and there's only one person it hits, and it's the one I specify. It can see them anywhere, any point. It even tells you when they're sleeping.
Why didn't you
It'll
ask for
kill
that?
Them silently in their sleep.
Yeah.
And no one will know it was me.
In fact, they can just evaporate them and all memory of them, so they never even existed.
Perfect. Perfect.
There you go, that's what I'd take.
Stupid of me, really.
He'd take a grand. Idiot. Well, I think that's it for all hypotheticals today.
I think so.
Thank you so much for watching our whatever this is. What would you call this? What? If you were to summarize this.
Well, this episode or just the podcast in general, like this both. Rambling of mania.
The price of health. The price of health potions are absurd.
Yeah.
50 gold.
50 gold.
And the fact
are you
that
kidding me?
Why even have denominations in that game?
Jerk me off until I KO'd.
Yeah. Wanking our other selves off.
Crocodile clip that was nips to a battery.
Real Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday. Not bad. I mean, I don't know. We'll think about it, but we hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I know our Patreon and members supporters like it so much, they're willing to impart their hard-earned coin to support us, and we very much appreciate that. Thank you. In return, you get the ad-free version on Patreon. You also get to vote, on the hypotheticals, or even provide them if you were to send them to our email address, hatch@hat-films.com, where you could also, like Bog Boy, send in a fingal. Oof. And we'll provide that entire one for you right now. Thank you, Bog Boy, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.